church, and I saw on Facebook some of the things you guys have been creating in the Philippines. Amazing, amazing. And just great to see the commitment that's here of this church to another nation. You know, it's in giving you receive. So the more you give, the more you'll receive here. I believe for that for you. And God knows we have a lot of needs in our own community too, and we look to Him. Greetings from our own church, and their thoughts are with you as well this morning, and me being here with you. As the announcement said, it's our pastor's conference next week, this coming week, and so we're looking forward to being at that, and so it was good to be able to come to this church, and thank you, Pastor Chris and the team here, for the invitation to be with you again. And it's always a great joy to be in the Grow Church. Wonderful. There's a whole group of people, philosophy, if you like, that view God as someone that they believe in God, but they believe essentially that He created it all and then disappeared off the scene, and that the whole of creation is like a big clock that He wound up that's gradually winding down until finally when it runs out, He'll come back again. Well, I'm glad He's coming back again, but I wouldn't say too much amen about the fact that He's distant from us. We often live that way, though. We live with this notion that somehow there is a God, but He's disconnected from His creation, that He is off somewhere else doing other things, and He's wound up this whole universe to basically just go along in its own strength and its own ways. And He's disconnected from us. We just sang a wonderful song about going deeper and about connecting with God. And, you know, that's not what this church believes in. This church is committed to the fact that there is a living God who is to be related to on a daily and moment-by-moment basis. And what I'm committed to as a pastor is to try and encourage people to understand what life is like with God rather than some distant figure. Our culture is full of people that believe in God. Most people believe in God, they say, statistically in Australia. The number of atheists is growing, but still, by far the majority of people believe in God. But most people have a view of God that's distant, disconnected. They don't understand that God is actually intended to be part of our lives. And what I want to talk with you this morning about is about empowering your life to live the way God always intended it to be. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to encourage you again this morning. Now, let me make sure I'm all switched on here. Here we go. To encourage you... is this working? On, off. On. Here we go. Would you like to just check it out, Chris? Have I got it on right? I'm trying to make the animation. Oh, there we go. We went deeper then. Okay. So this morning I want to talk about going deeper with Holy Spirit and living in this amazing partnership. There's an ache in the heart of most people that realizes there's something more to life than just what we've seen with our natural eyes. All around us, people basically feel there must be more. There's supposed to be a connection with a greater force and greater power. They don't know how to define that. They don't know how to explain that. But there's an ache inside of humanity because God originally made us as humans to be connected with Him and to live in relationship with Him. And your theme this year is about going deeper. And it's about moving beyond just the surface of things and living shallow, but putting your roots down and growing up and drilling down into all that is our relationship with God. This morning, I just want to encourage you that there is so much more to life with God. And this amazing divine partnership that I want to encourage you towards and to speak into your hearts about engaging more with God. Because, you know, I've been a pastor for more than 40 years now. I've been a Christian since I was just a young tacker. I've lived with God all my life, but I'm only just discovering right now the depths of that relationship. There's so much more to discover. And it's actually what makes the Christian life so exciting, is that it gets better every day. It gets deeper every day. You can just grow in your relationship with God. And my encouragement to you here this morning is, don't just live at the surface of things. Go deeper and come into all that is the empowering of your life the way God intended it to be right from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, it was that they would walk with him through the garden. It was that they would live in relationship with him. But sin, unfortunately, came into the heart of man, and it became like a dividing wall that separated him from God. And the whole story of Jesus is building a bridge back into our lives of his God's divine love towards us as he reaches out towards us and says, I long for your fellowship. I long for you to walk with me. And my encouragement to you here this morning, and probably the majority of you are committed Christians, but go deeper. Discover what it is to walk with the Spirit, to live with the Spirit, to outflow in your life all that is his immeasurable power and all the dimensions of what God has in store for us. I'm just so convinced that there is so much more, and it's what makes my Christian life more exciting today than it was yesterday. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow, because there's more. And, when people, some Christians you talk to, they say, it's just so boring, go to church. And I think, man, you've just given me a great barometer into your life, a great thermometer into where the temperature of your world is. Because, you know, in my life, the temperature just keeps rising. The barometer of pressure is growing. And I'm just discovering more and more what it is to walk with God. And I want that to be for you as well this morning. Where's our drummer? Where is he? There he is. How are you? What was your name? Zach. You know, I just felt like God had a word for you this morning. And I've asked these to be written out for you, some scriptures, okay? So they'll be given to you as I finish, so you can just focus on what I'm saying. As I share words with people, and some of you know, because I've done that here before, you might be sitting there thinking, boy, I wish he'd done that for me. I was the one that needed those verses. Guess what? Go up to, what was your name again? Zach. Go up to Zach afterwards and say, Zach, can I have a copy of those scriptures? Because I reckon they were for me, not for you. Because I'm not infallible. I might have this wrong. But at the same time, I also know that God's word often speaks to many of us. And we can receive that word, as well into our hearts. So as you hear me share things, don't think, oh, darn it, I missed out again. No, you haven't missed out. Open up and receive what God's saying this morning. Now, for you, Zach, as I was praying last night, I just felt like, and I didn't know it was going to be you, but I'm saying this in faith. Sometimes for you to be filled and to go deeper, you first have to empty. And, you know, there is an emptying so that you may be filled. And I just feel like there are some things that God would want to put his finger on in your life to say, you're saying, I can't let go of that, or I don't want that, that's part of me, that's the way I am. And God wants to take those things to create more space for him and to fill you with what you should be and how you can be. And it's really exciting, but it's really tough sometimes to let go of those things that have become entrenched in our lives and part of us. But I feel like God wants to go, whoosh. That's what I saw last night, just God going, whoosh, 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 pulling things out that you think are good, and they're not necessarily bad. They're just things that occupy space in your life where God wants to fill it now with some stuff that's, you will fill the vacuum. Don't feel like you're going to lose out. You're actually going to be emptied to be filled, was the expression that I had. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, it talks about Jesus himself. He emptied himself of his divinity so that he could come to earth as a human. And in the very process of emptying, there was an infilling that came. And I feel that's for you too. Don't be fearful that you're going to lose your sense of identity. You know, Christ gave up his divine identity in heaven to actually become a human like you and I for a greater purpose. And God has greater purposes for you as well. So just believe that the good God that's on your side is working with you. And it's his emptying process. This isn't about stripping you of all your identity and all that you are. It's actually filling you with a new identity, a new purpose. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's the story of Elisha and the great prophet and the woman who had nothing much, you know. And she just had one little jar. And he said, now empty that jar and go around and gather all the jars you can in the town and I'm going to fill them. And that's the picture I had of that which was emptied now becomes filled supernaturally. And so just be encouraged. There's a good God working on your behalf, and there's much more that he wants to fill you with than you can ever even contain. You know, much, much more, Zach. Proverbs 3:10. There's a verse that says there, your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. You know, and I just, where did that come from? Did I do that? That's moved on a long way into my message then. Do you guys touching that? It's not even working. There we are. Okay. Just stay. Don't. Stay. Sorry. Zach, let's get back on track with you. Let me read you that verse again. Proverbs 3:10. Your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats bursting with wine. Matthew 9:17 talks about old wineskins having to be done away with so that a new wineskin can be filled with new wine. Look, this is a really exciting word for you, Zach, because I just sense God is saying there's a whole heap of new stuff ahead for you. Allow yourself to be emptied of what was your old ways of thinking and thoughts, and allow Holy Spirit to just come in and open up the wonder of doing life with him. As I put up there, empowering your life to live the way God always intended. God has a great plan for your life. And he's saying, the Zach needs to be taken out of Zach so Holy Spirit can become the ruler of your life. And as you do that, you'll be amazed at the opportunities that open up for you. Is this connecting with you at all? Matthew 9:17 was that the last verse. Did you get that one down? And John 15:5 says, it talks about pruning. And sometimes we even prune off the fruitful branches to produce even greater fruit. And you know, the pruning sometimes of our lives, we feel like, oh, I don't want to let go of that. God, that was bearing fruit. And God says, I've got a much bigger picture ahead. And I just see your life laden with much fruitfulness in the times that lie ahead. And it's way beyond just playing drums and doing a few things musically. It's about the richness of what your life can become as you allow Holy Spirit to lead you. Can we pray for you, Zach? Would that be all right? Let's just, if you're in the congregation, reach your hands out over towards this area. You probably can't see him, but he's tucked away in there behind the PA desk. So maybe the PA desk will get blessed in the process as well. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for Zach. He's a great young guy. He loves you. And Lord, the emptying of self is so important for the filling of ourselves with you. And Lord, there's so much ego in all of us. There's so much in us that is just filled with our own sense of importance and our own sense of wanting to be in control. And Lord, right now I just pray that you, Holy Spirit, would just come into Zach's life and give him a great excitement for what lies ahead. And Lord, the best is yet to come for you, mate, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you, mate. Just feel like I want to share one other word. For my brother who was leading the service today. I can't remember your name. I'm really sorry. Gadget? Sorry. I feel like I saw someone last night, and I think it might be you, just going, there's a word that I use a bit, and it's probably not in your vocabulary, but it's, oh, hooly dooly. Wow. Didn't see that one coming. What the? And I feel like there's some situations that maybe you've been in or maybe that are around you right now that you're going, oh, what? Holy, it's not that you're panicking, but it's that you're just perplexed and you're not sure about what this is all leading to and coming to. But I want you to know that God is in control and he's leading and guiding you, and there's no need to be anxious. There's no need to be surprised. There's no need to be bewildered or overwhelmed. But God is working with you. And I just want to give some verses that just speak particularly around the sense of what he wants to, how he wants to fill you and restore you. And I wrote some of these verses down. I'm not a walking concordance, so I tend to write most of my verses down. But I want to give them to you. In Psalm 81 and verse 10, it says, "Open wide your mouth and I will fill it." I just sense God is going to fill you afresh. And when you go, what the? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to. God says, I'm going to fill your mouth. Just open your mouth wide and just let me show you how I can fill it. In Haggai 2 and verse 7, it says, "And I will fill this house with glory." And I think God is going to use you in this place in a way to bring increasing sense of his presence and glory. Don't be limited by your view of yourself or the inadequacies of who you are. Don't go, oh, what? I don't understand this. I don't. This is too over. No, God is with you. Hallelujah. Now I know you know this, but I just feel like God wants to encourage you afresh. Acts 2:28 says, "You have made known to me the paths of life, and you fill me with joy in your presence." And I just sense that God is going to take you into some special places of intimacy with him, where the confusion at times or the sense of quandary and not being clear about what's coming up, God will just say, "In my presence you will find just great peace and calmness and steadiness of application." Romans 15 verse 13, it says, and the God of hope will fill you with all joy. You're going to be a very joyful man in the things that lie ahead. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5, 18 says, "Instead, now you be filled with the Spirit." Acts 2, 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." Ephesians 6, verse 18, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions." Now, I know you are this sort of man, but I just want to encourage you. Holy Spirit is taking you on a journey of going deeper with him. And it's about you and about understanding some of the quandaries and question marks and insecurities maybe that may be there at times for God to empower you in your life. But it's also about your effect into this whole church and into this community, that you will lead people forward into a deeper pathway with the Holy Spirit because you've gone there yourself. And where they may be going, what the? What's all this about? You'll be able to just show the pathway forward and give clarity and direction in increasing measure. God bless you, my brother. You're a great, great lover of God and a great inspiration, obviously, to this whole congregation. But I just, you watch that space and see what God's going to do. Does that connect with you? Okay. Lord, we just pray, Father. When we go, oh, holy dooly, I never saw that one coming. Or what the heck? Lord, life is full of sometimes quandaries and question marks and queries, and we're not sure where we're going. But Lord, Holy Spirit, you are there with us. And I pray for my brother, you would just take him on a great journey forward that just shows him, Lord, deeper and deeper things that can encourage this church as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Take those scriptures, have a read of them. See what God's saying to you through them. The disciples really pinned their hopes on Jesus. When he was with them, they finally found their sense of identity. They were walking with this man. This great, they didn't fully even understand that he was actually the Son of God, but he was. They just knew they were in a great space. And they were discovering a power and a way of living their lives that they'd only dreamed of and hoped for. The ache that was in all of humanity had been in them too. And now it was personified in the person of Jesus. And they were his disciples and they were his chosen ones and they were walking with him. And they were so excited about what was going to be ahead. And they just felt like their life was right in the zone with God. And then Jesus says to them, I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Listen to these words. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I'll not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'll not leave you. They're thinking that their hero is going to go. And he says, you don't really understand. He says, I have to go. Why did Jesus have to go? Because while he was here on earth in his human form, he was limited by his humanity. I gave the verse to Zach before that he emptied himself of his divinity to the sense that, you know, Jesus could always be like God the Father, everywhere, all of the places, all of the time. But now in his human form, he limited himself to that spot in Israel with those disciples at that moment. And he couldn't be everywhere. But now he says here, look, before long the world will not see me anymore, but on that day you'll realize I am in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. Jesus had to go so that he could come back in the form of Holy Spirit and dwell now inside all of us. And so right now, the presence of God is here. It's with the team in the Philippines. It's with my church in Adelaide. It's already in our tomorrows. It's been in our past. Holy Spirit is always with us. The presence of the living Christ is no longer just there, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. That's the message that this church centrally tries to present Sunday by Sunday to this community, is that God is not off there somewhere having done his thing and now the whole thing's winding down like a clock that's wound up. No, it's actually a God who chose to come and live amongst us in the form of Jesus and who now by his Holy Spirit actually comes to dwell with us. And guess what? You can live an amazing life in connection with God as you walk with him. And far from him being distant from you, he can walk with you and be with you in every moment of every day. So they said, please don't leave me. And he says, you don't get it. I have to leave you so that I can actually come in a much more dynamic form, which is the form of my spirit, and I'll be in all of you all of the time. I don't have a little bit of the Holy Spirit and Chris has a little bit and you have a little bit more. No, we all have all of Holy Spirit in us. The whole presence, the whole deal has come down to us. We don't have to divvy him up and all get a little portion like a cake that's divided amongst the millions of people and we all get a morsel each. No, in the mystery that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, all of Jesus comes into you and me. That's why Paul says, I've got this treasure that's hidden inside me. This amazing receptacle of in my heart that contains all that is God in the form of the Holy Spirit in the presence and reality of Jesus. And no wonder the Christian life should be more exciting tomorrow than it is today. Because God's in me and he wants to take us on an adventure called life. Life in the Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, I think it says it. Do I have to point it in a certain direction? There we go. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, it says, but tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's an interesting word. We don't use it very much anymore, but I love the feel of that word, tarry. It means to wait, to linger, to hang around. And they had to wait, if you remember, in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come after Jesus left for 10 days. Some of us find it difficult to wait 10 seconds, let alone 10 minutes, let alone 10 hours. We would find it very difficult to pray for 10 days. But these guys were desperate because they'd been with Jesus and they knew what it was like to live with him, and they weren't going to split until they got all that was the presence of God back, because they knew they needed it. And for 10 days, they're crying out, praying and believing together, doing what we've done already this morning, worshipping God. And then suddenly power from on high came upon them. But they tarried, they waited. Now, I've put up there tarry meetings, prayer closets and pressing into God. When I was a young guy, I was very fortunate. My parents came into the baptism in the Holy Spirit and into the fullness of a Pentecostal church much like this when I was just an eight-year-old boy. And I can remember the absolute excitement in my mother and father as they discovered all that was the reality of Holy Spirit in their lives for the first time. Not only them, but scores of their friends as well. And there was this real mini revival amongst my culture, which is Dutch, and all these families that had immigrated from Holland in the 50s suddenly came to the Lord and got baptized in the Holy Spirit and discovered this amazing thing about doing life with God. And my early memories of my childhood is growing up and going to these prayer meetings that I guess in some ways for a kid seemed to go on forever. I can remember sleeping under the chairs in the meetings and in the houses as my parents and their friends just cried out to God for his Holy Spirit. They were called tarry meetings because they tarried and waited until it came. We used to have a room in the church where I grew up in. It was called the upper room, and it was literally an upper room. You went upstairs to a mezzanine or a next level room up the top of the back of the church where people would go and tarry, and they would call them tarry meetings, and they would wait until they were endued with power from on high. The upside of that was there was a hunger in them. The downside was they often strove and struggled to try and make things happen in themselves. Reality is Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. He's here. But we need to tarry, to wait, because we rush ahead of God and we try to do things so quickly in our own strength. And that word tarry reminds me, don't leave home without Holy Spirit. Make sure that you do life with him every moment of every day. We're intended All right, if this is going to cause me a lot of grief, then maybe you need to press it on for me, okay? I'll try one more time. Where's the signal? Over there? There's a massive difference, as I put up there, between theory and experience. There's a huge difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And the amazing thing about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, as it was expressed to my parents in those early tarry meetings, as it happened to me as a young 11-year-old boy, as it happened to you, many of you, is that suddenly you know that you know that you know that God is real. And it's not just a head knowledge. It's an experience. And what this was about and what this church is committed to is the experience of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of God in the midst of our lives, not some theological, intellectual concept, not just some theory, but an experience that is real and touches us in every dimension of our lives. As I've just spoken it over Zach and our pastor, you know, is true for you. God's Spirit is here to touch and transform and change your world. Now, I put up here Is the battery flat, maybe? You think that's what it is? Oh, here we go. It's flicked on two in a row. PDAs, public displays of affection. I have sons. I have four boys, and one of them is really very cautious about any public display of affection. Just keeps. He really struggles, not so much anymore, and I think it changed very rapidly for him when he got a wife. And suddenly he became quite emotional in the way that he responded. But up until that time, he was a guy that always would keep his distance and keep reasonably coy. I work with a pastor who's a bit like that as well. Pastor Derek's a fantastic guy, loves God, but you don't want to get too, you know, man hugs are not really part of his world. He struggles with, it's like this, you know, not like this as much. Although he has thawed out a bit. He's thawed out a lot. And you know people in your world and who struggle with public displays of affection. And our British ancestry and culture of our society is very much about that, you know, keeping things at distance and being all very respectable. You know, and something has been transmitted into the way we think about God that also just keeps him at a respectable distance. When God's nature is one of hugging and holding us. I already talked about my family's radical conversion. But, you know, when they came into God, it was an experience of God that grabbed them. Sorry I'm having troubles here. Could you flick it on, please? There we go. Keep it going. As I said, they're just beyond intellectually. Look at this verse that's up there now. John 4:24 says, God is sheer being itself, spirit. And those who worship him must do it by their very being, their spirits, their true selves. The next slide shows a picture that we've often used to sort of picture the creation story. It was Michelangelo's famous painting of the Sistine Chapel in Rome. And it's this amazing art that was done on the ceiling of this chapel. How he did it, I wouldn't have any idea. And if you've been there, you just stand there in awe and look at it. But this part of it is the creation of Adam, and God touches him and he becomes a living being. But in a sense, that's the way we've kept the view of God, that there's this occasional touch of God upon us. And really, in a sense, I wish Michelangelo had drawn a picture of a loving God embracing Adam, because I reckon the way he breathed into him was not like that, like this. And he walked with him through the garden, and there was intimacy between them, and there wasn't just some distant reality, some intellectual concept, some momentary touch of God. There was no separation of heaven and earth. And when we look at the next slide, Jesus said these words. Jesus knew no divided world. He said, I always do what pleases him. I do only do those things that I hear the Father saying and hear the Father doing. He walked with the Holy Spirit. And that's the picture that's not to be just a theory but a reality for us. Read this next passage as well. But when the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give him as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, but I am coming back to you. Now look at the words that are used there. It introduces us, that passage, to some of the key words or descriptors of Holy Spirit. He's an advocate. He stands in the gap for us. An advocate is like a lawyer who takes your cause as his own and stands there in your behalf. He'll teach you all things. Holy Spirit is a teacher, an instructor, a director. He'll remind you of everything that I've said to you. He'll help you recall things. He'll come back to your memory. It's like Holy Spirit's there as a prompt, just directing you. My peace I leave with you. Supernatural sense of the peace of God. How awesome. That in the midst of the turmoils and confusions of our world and life, we can walk through with a tranquility that is not just theory but reality. Because Holy Spirit is there bringing peace, not as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let a calmness come on you that comes from Holy Spirit that allows you to just have this divine poise. You heard me say, I'm going away, but I'm coming back to you. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So here's a heap of things that Holy Spirit is about. Let's read the next passage as well. John 16, however, I'm telling you nothing new. But the truth, when I say it to you, say it is good for you that I go away, because if I do not go away, the Comforter, and these are the words that Comforter actually means, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby, he will come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now, I want you to note that last little statement. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will what? Guide you. What is the Holy Spirit? He's a guide. He's a guide. He's not a map. You know, a map is something that you find your directions and bearings from. Maps are great. But how many of you ever got lost with a map? You know, you get the map out and you can't even work out which way is north. You get the map out and you've been following it beautifully, and then suddenly you find yourself down a dead-end street and you think, how did I get there? This didn't say that. But when you've got a guide, it's very different, because the guide's already been there and knows exactly where to take you. And if you can follow a guide, suddenly the road becomes very simple and clear. And that's what Holy Spirit is. He's our guide. Hallelujah. Now, I want to illustrate something to you, and it comes out of this next verse. A divine partnership. And I've put up there a picture of a three-legged race, and I've asked my good hefty brother here to be the Holy Spirit. Would you like to come up here? And I want to illustrate something to you, because this is the picture I had. Do you want to tie our legs together, or do you want your dad to do it? Thanks, Holy Spirit. How many of you have ever been in a three-legged race or can remember them at school? Huh? They were pretty dangerous races, so we're going to be safe, okay? We're going to play, just do this. Can we just turn this way? You give the lead. Okay. Now, in a three-legged race, you're tied together and you function like one. And you've got to be really clear who's going to give the lead. So it's going to be you, all right? Here we go. Okay, let's see how far we can go. That's good. I shouldn't be saying that. You should be saying that to me, Holy Spirit. That's good. You're doing really good.
That's good.
Yeah. Can
you
turn around?
Yeah, turn around.
Okay, yes, I'll turn around with you, and here we go. Oops. Now. We better just stop here. Thank you. He's not a bad Holy Spirit. Actually, he's a very good one. The verse up there says, since we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. I just want to get out some things from underneath here. Thanks, Holy Spirit. Now, here's a whole heap of things I've got up in front of me. All right, things that I might struggle with. And the first one may be insecurities. And maybe you're here this morning facing a whole bunch of insecurities. I don't know what it was like for you, but, you know, I can remember as a young boy growing up in a family that came from another culture. My name was actually Johannes. That's my full name. It means Hans or Hans or Hans or however you want to say it, with whatever inclination. All through school, I was actually called Joe because my name was Johannes or Johannes. And I, right at a very fundamental level, I struggled just with this ethnic background of a strange name. And maybe you're doing that too as a school. You come from many different cultures here and you end up in Australia. And for me, I was filled as a young boy growing up with a heap of insecurities. Some of it stemming back to my Dutch roots. But you know, whatever those insecurities are in your life, they may relate to your sense of intelligence or the lack of educational opportunity that you've had or how you view yourself and your acceptance of who you are. Whatever the insecurities are, and they're real. But you know, when you walk with Holy Spirit and you're in sync with Him, guess what? You can give the insecurities to Him. And what does He do? That was one of the words up there. We become empowered by Him. And instead of us being defined by our insecurities, we become defined by our sense of power. Or maybe it's your circumstances, which is the next one I've got up here. Where our circumstances define us. Situations happen. I've just been talking and dealing with a guy in our church who is struggling with a circumstance he never thought would happen, and that is his marriage has fallen apart. I would never have thought it happened because they looked like they had a good marriage. Looked like it was going really great, and I was as surprised as almost anybody when suddenly this marriage and the circumstances of this guy's life suddenly took a route that he'd never anticipated. Now, as I've come to talk and share with him, there are many reasons why it happened. But as we give that over to Holy Spirit, what happens? He becomes our counselor. And suddenly, instead of me having to try and work this problem out in my own life and help this man deal with these issues of his marriage all in his own understanding, he gives it over to Holy Spirit, and the counselor comes and starts to direct and affect affairs. Now, you can choose not to walk with Holy Spirit, and then you're left to your own devices. Or you can give over to Holy Spirit. Life's full of tragedies. I've done a lot of work, as has Pastor Chris, in a nation like Sri Lanka. I just, you know, at the start of this year, at Easter time, they had bombings in the church where Chris and I have spoken numbers of times. You know, it was one of the three churches that was bombed. And in this particular church, the assistant pastor got killed. Your family? You're related? Huh? Just terrible. You know, as I talk to that family, you know, I think back to the years we were there through the Civil War, and many of them had lost their other members of family through the Civil War. And then another tragedy happened. A tsunami hit that area of Batacolo. And suddenly other family members were lost. And now in this bombing, a husband and a daughter is lost. And you just go, how much tragedy can a family hold? I don't know what's ahead for you or I. Life is not necessarily going to be easy. We're not guaranteed anything. We live in a fallen world with lots of things that go wrong in it. It's not God's fault, but it happens. But God is still there in the midst of it. And you give the tragedies over to Him, and He comes with His comfort and helps you in the midst of that profound loss that you may be feeling, and that ache and confusion, because you're now walking with Him. In our life group, in our home group, we've just been dealing with one of the ladies in our church, in our group, who's just lost her job, really through false accusations, and it's pretty rotten. The things that have been said against her, and she's actually had to take the employers to court because of wrongful dismissal, and it's been a very complicated and awkward thing. And just last week, we found out they've decided to settle out of court because they don't want to get their names be taken through the mud. But the accusations that came. And maybe you've been accused of all sorts of stuff that you can't even prove that you're right, but you know that you are. Well, guess what? You don't have to do this thing alone. If you're with Holy Spirit, you can give it to Him. And what does he come in? He's your advocate. He's your lawyer. He's the one who stands in the gap for you. Or you can take, maybe you've got some problems and our culture is full of addictions. All around us there's an ice epidemic happening. I've just been travelling through rural South Australia, through some of our small country towns and churches that we've got there. Some of them, these small country towns, are crippled by ice. These kids who've got nothing to do, unemployed, are all getting caught up in these ice epidemics. There's scourge of stuff going down in our communities, in addictions. In our own local church, I think of all the sorts of addictions that there are. Sometimes it relates to people who struggle with things on the internet or with alcohols or there's a heap of ways you can try and escape and make it through life by trying to bury your head in the sand and avoid it. And addictions are the consequence of that. But we can give our addictions over to Jesus, and his power comes in. And what does he do? As our standby, as our in-between, he just carries that addiction. He breaks its power. Hallelujah. This is not just some theory. I'm linked to Holy Spirit. I can choose to hold all these things myself, or I can give them over to him. Because that's what that verse meant. As we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with Holy Spirit. Now, I said already, the next slide, if we're going to walk with the Holy Spirit, we need to allow him to lead. So, Holy Spirit, you got to lead. And if I choose to just go my way, guess what's going to happen? He knows where he's going because he's the guide. I'm going to get lost. I'm going to get trip up. I'm going to struggle. And the Christian life is not intended to be a struggle. It's supposed to be a partnership. And he says, come, let me show you the way. Let me lead you in the paths of righteousness as we allow him to lead. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. It's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live by the flesh, guess what? You'll die, you'll trip up, you'll fall over, you won't make it. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death all that stuff and you live in an amazing life that comes out of partnership. Hallelujah. The next slide says another thing that's really important. As you walk with the Spirit, as you keep in step with him, it means we acknowledge our absolute dependence on him. I can't do it without Holy Spirit in my life. And the more I go on, the more I want to keep in step with him. Because, man, he knows what's up ahead. He knows where I'm going. And it's exciting where he's going to take me. Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead? Or are you going to try and determine everything yourself? Pastor Chris alluded to the fact that I've just retired. Whatever that means. I've handed over the leadership of my church, but I know a lot of my friends and people that I know, when they reach that juncture of their life where they've been defined by their roles and responsibilities, when they hand it on, they lose their way. Because it's actually been about their role and their responsibilities that they've gained the definition of their character rather than out of their relationship with Holy Spirit. I'm praying Holy Spirit can lead me on many more adventures in the days that lie ahead. It isn't over for me. It's just a new chapter. And I'm discovering what that looks like. And with my wife Fiona there, we've often said, we're actually back where we started from. When we started in ministry, we were living by faith. Now we're doing it again. No income really. Just trusting the Lord and seeing a bit come in here and there and waiting for the miracles as he leads us. Wow. What an exciting way to live. We acknowledge our absolute dependence on him. Listen to this verse. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly because of my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Hallelujah. Well, Holy Spirit, I don't really want to leave you, but I do want you to be able to... Can we go? There we go. I picked a red tie because that seemed pretty appropriate to Holy Spirit. Thank you. Put your hands together. So let's just finish off quickly now, the next couple of slides. Your communication with God can be with your mind. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's limiting. Or it can be with your heart, discernment, which opens up a whole new dimension. Here's a picture that I've used here years ago, I think, in this church. You can connect with God as person one does, where they allow God to be filtered through their mind and it touches their heart, and then out of that they live their lives. Or you can allow God to touch your heart and then transform your mind and out of that live your life. Which way are you living your life? Are you trying to take all that is God and try to understand it and put it through your own filter of your own mind, and you end up with a God that's as big as you can think? Whereas your heart is made to encompass all that is the presence and power of God. Your heart is able to harness all that is the treasure of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that heart can transform your mind, be transformed, Paul said, by the renewing of your mind, and allow your heart to lead you. And that's where you go deeper. It's not by going deeper in intellect, it's by deeper in your heart. And what this church is committed to, and what we're on about, is learning to live by the Spirit. So my question to you this morning is simply, are you living in sync with Him? Could you open up more to Him? What more could Holy Spirit do with you in the days that lie ahead? You may be senior in years. Don't think that therefore your life is over. God has got some great things ahead for you. Now, I want to give some more words to people, but I notice our time's got away. Sorry, Chris. I'm going to point out a few people, and I'd love you to come forward at the end of the service so I can give these words to you and share with you. That young guy sitting at the back there. No. You might like to think you're young, but you're not that young. The one in front of you in the white T-shirt. Adrian, could you come out the front in a minute? Not now, just in the moment when I call you, okay? Now, there was somebody else back there that I was thinking of. There was a lady who was helping with the offering who's disappeared on me now. Is she there? Huh? There she is. Was that you? You were sitting up there before. You got a very moving experience here. Could you come out? I've got a word for you as well this morning. For the woman with the blonde hair there and the... Yeah. Karen? Could you come forward, Karen? I'd love to give a word to you. And the guy sitting in front of you as well with the maroon... Yeah, just there. Peter? Could you come out the front as well? I'd love to pray with you. And let me just say this, if there's any of you here that have come to church this morning particularly, and you say, God, I need to hear from you, and you've been hanging out, and this is not just coming to get blessed, okay, but you know that you came to church this morning really wanting to hear from Holy Spirit and get some direction, I invite you to come out the front as well, all right, even though I haven't pointed you out singularly. Maybe Holy Spirit's already been pointing you out in your heart, all right, so I don't want to end up with a heap of people here just wanting to be prayed for blessing, although I'm happy to pray for you and be blessed, but I think there are some specific people that God wants to speak to this morning in a way that will just encourage them personally and directly. Hallelujah. Have you got the lesson from this morning? There's an awesome Holy Spirit, and if you want to go deeper, it's through your relationship with Him and keeping in sync with Him. And I tried to get that picture across to you, that you can walk independent to Him or you can walk in submission to Him. Let Him give the lead. Where's He going to take you this week? What about dependence upon Him? You're dependent upon Him. As you wake up this morning, say, Holy Spirit, what are we going to do today? As you go into that meeting at work, Holy Spirit, come with me. As you're meeting with maybe some of your colleagues, say, Holy Spirit, I want you here in this conversation in my heart, leading and guiding me. When you sit down for your homework, young guys, girls, maybe you're facing year 12 and exams are ahead, invite Holy Spirit in there with you. Whatever you do, walk in sync with Him. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder what our life is going to look like as we start to do that more and more. And far from it being boring, you discover the richness of what is life in the Spirit and the wonder of going deeper with Him. And the great message that you as a church have is that you don't have to do life alone, but you can do it with Holy Spirit. And that ache that's in the heart of everybody can be fulfilled through the power of Holy Spirit in our lives. If you've never given your life to Jesus this morning, maybe you've come to this church because there is that ache, then this morning's a great opportunity for you to give your heart to Christ and say, I'm going to just surrender to Holy Spirit and allow Him to come into me. The Bible talks about it being like being born again. It's like suddenly you come alive again on the inside. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, you're here right now. If there's any here who don't know you, may they come to you this morning and give their hearts to you afresh in Jesus' name. And for those, Lord, that are here this morning who love you and are walking with you, Lord, we're just very aware that we can walk in a struggle way with you, trying to give the lead to you all the time and wondering why we trip up and fall over. Help us to walk in sync with you and to remember to hand all of the issues over to you, that you care for us. And what can life look like as we walk in the Spirit? Help this church to go deeper with you and to show people the pathway towards depth in the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Those who I've pointed out, would you come out the front as we sing a song now? And any others that really would like prayer, I'd love to pray with you. Pastor Chris, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here again. Who takes on? Awesome.